Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host, and we've got another good show. There's so many crazy things going on right now. I couldn't think of a better guest than Mahala Gale to bring on the show to give us a little insight as to what we're experiencing. And, you know, we are getting hammered with one solar flare after another, you know, right during the middle of these huge storms coming in as well. So we're seeing just phenomenal tornado action and severe weather and all kinds of other processes going on. People flipping out, you know, emotional outbursts. A lot of processes happening on every level. So I'm going to bring her on in just a second. I'm going to get through her bio here. Okay, so this is Mahala Gale's bio. We're going to bring this in. She's been studying the science of astrology since 1980. She specialized in world astrology and the Book of Revelation. She's been writing articles called Planet Alert since 1988 and letting people know what's about ready to transpire. And we're now experiencing the 20th chapter of Revelation, which talks about the controllers going down, which is happening big time right now. And when the event is finished, we'll all enter into the 21st and 22nd chapters, which talk about the new heaven and the new earth. So we've got her websites up there on the site. Where she's got planetalert@hotmail.com if you want to get in touch with her. And she has a blog address, too. It's www.mahalasastrology.com. So without any further ado, we want to bring Mahala on the show. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, it's kind of short notice, but with so many things coming on, I couldn't think of a better person to talk about, you know, what's happening right now, because we've got some major planetary alignments going on. The sun is just going ballistic. We are watching the banksters just implode. And the controllers and all the things you've been talking about and both of us have been talking about for a long time. And, you know, wherever you want to take us, it'd be great to let us know
we could start with the tornadoes that are coming in, you know, aside from the solar flares, because when the planets line up, the solar flares, I mean, the planets cause the sun to erupt, you know. And also, another thing that causes the sun to erupt is that we're all consciousness. And so with all of the people flipping out on Earth like they are, you know, in very chaotic consciousness, then that helps the sun to erupt, too. And then when it erupts, it comes down and affects our body and helps us push out all the dark stuff that doesn't belong there so we can become beings of light. But the main thing that's going on right now is that in July of last year, there was an eclipse on 9 degrees Cancer. Now, an eclipse is a very, very important event that happens. And when it does, an eclipse is a one-day thing. Well, that's not true. An eclipse lasts for a long time. And so it kind of sets a point in space. And then when a planet comes along and triggers it, then the events happen. And so when Pluto went on 9 degrees Capricorn, and that area is right where the tornadoes are coming in, because the sign of Cancer rules from the Mississippi River to the East Coast, and so that is under pressure from that eclipse way back in July. And so Pluto, the Dark Lord, is triggering that energy. And when that happens, then a lot of violence come in. And then it's not only the trigger for the eclipse, but it's what the planets are doing. And so the planet Uranus is in Aries. And it's been Mercury's there, too. And when you get Mercury and Uranus together, you have storms. And so being the eclipse is focused into that area, that's where it's been manifesting. And along with the moon. See, the moon is in Gemini. Now, that rules the other side of the Mississippi River. And so they started, down in that part. And then when the moon went into Cancer, which was right from the Mississippi River to the East Coast, then that brought in all of that energy, too. So it was not only the eclipse, it was the moon and Pluto triggering it. And it's not over yet, because Pluto is going to stay on 9 degrees Cancer until the end of May. And I'm not saying that there'll be one storm right after another, but it is going to trigger all kinds of events. And it depends on where the other planets are, too, where it will happen. And the other side of the world that is being affected of it, because there's like Cancers on one side of the world and Capricorns on the other. And so the two cycles interact. And so the other part is over China and India and that particular area. And so I'm sure that there's something going on over there, too, that I haven't heard about. But it's all been focused, you know, in our news, being that we live in the United States, in the tremendous tornadoes that have been coming in.
Is Mars, now Mars is retrograde, right?
Yes, it is. And this past 2 days, the sun has been in exact opposition to Mars. And that has caused people's tempers to flare, myself included. I wasn't expecting that, but I'm a Virgo, and Mars is in Virgo. But it's just like, you know, something comes up, and it has to come out. And so that's the energy that's been in effect the last 2 days. And that's pretty powerful, along with all of this other stuff, you know? And so... But we do have a major, major, major thing coming up, and that's the eclipse that happens on May 20th of this year. And that eclipse will be, it's lined up with Alcyon, our central sun, and that's in the Pleiadian star system. And so that's an exact alignment with that. And so it's not only that, but it's Alcyon, Jupiter, and the sun. And it, in my opinion, it activates the ending of the 26-year cycle, 1,000-year cycle, because that's how long it takes for us to go around Alcyon. And so this is a major, major thing. And there's a video, well, I think you sent me the video, about this guy from Mexico who is talking about the two crop circles that point to May 20th. As the ending of one of the Mayan cycles. There's many different Mayan calendars, and they have different endings at different times. And so he is pointing to that time, too. And then today, I just got an eclipse from Luna Joy, and what she's saying in there is what her guides told her is that this particular eclipse will be a rebooting of our whole system, which will be very, very, very important. And so this might change a whole lot of things on Earth. You know, it might just, it might be the time where the light actually wins, you know?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that I've been getting really clear that, you know, we're going to have our own Arab Spring. And from March on, you know, they always say that, you know, beware of the Ides of March. You know, everything just starts breaking down. And I think it's going to kind of go from March on, basically. But
I agree.
There is such an energy right now, and people are becoming educated. They're figuring it out. They're figuring out the banking system and, you know, the trillions of dollars that were hijacked, you know, Wall Street, everything. Just the total misuse and abuse of power that's been going on. And I have a feeling, I'm really hoping that there's a peaceful evolution and that the white hats all step up and do their thing, and so the people don't have to have, you know, a bloody revolution. So,
Well, you know, there's a difference between the frequency of the planets, you know. And so we've been moving into a higher frequency planet, and once we get into the higher frequency, then the dark ones won't exist anymore because they won't be able to vibrate in that frequency. And so we're at the very end of that, and as we get higher and higher and all of these solar flares and all these energy things that come into Earth, it's increasing our frequency. And so there's being a separation. It's like in the where the Bible talks about the wheat being divided from the chaff, you know. We're in that particular time right now. And anyone who thinks that the dark is going to take over, I say that they'd better rethink that, because Uranus is in Aries. Uranus is a planet of change, and it will be in Aries for 7 years. And if anyone knows anything about astrology and they know what an Aries is like, if you've ever tried to hold an Aries down, it's impossible. You cannot tell them what to do at all. And so that's the kind of energy that we have going on. So it's a vibration for freedom. And people are going to stand up, and they're going to say no more. They already have started standing up. But with this Uranus and Aries, it's going to be big time thing for freedom.
Well, I know it's almost like they've signed their own jail sentences and treason and whatever else, the Congress, that they keep signing these bills, you know, like the Patriot Act, and then they went to that NDA 1867 where they can arrest anybody, anytime, anywhere, throw you in jail, and definitely ship you off to Guantanamo, you know. And now they have another bill they just passed where there's no protesting, you know, no freedom of speech or right to assembly. It's now illegal, you know. I go, what are they going to do next? I mean, they've literally ripped up the Constitution and thrown it in our face, even though they've signed an oath to it. So
they have. But it's going to change because it can't go on like it is. You know, they're kind of like the dark ones are in their last stand. And there's something that happened in May, in February. On February 3rd, there was a doorway that opened to heaven. And at the same time, the light ones have been taking out all of these underground bases. And that started way back in August. And so when they, I finally got it. When they started doing these bases things, then the reptilians and the lower dimension beings that were there, they started coming out all over the place. And they're here now in full force, and they're just doing their darndest to get everything to go to pot, you know? And so my suggestion is to really keep yourself clear every day. And I think that when the eclipse comes up on May 20th, I think that there's going to be so much light coming in from Elcyon and such a change and a rebooting of our whole solar system that I think that they won't be able to stay here after that point. But that's still a couple months away. And so they're just doing all kinds of damage right now. So it's really, really important, I think, to keep yourself clear of any entities or anyone that tries to bother you or get you off balance or to do anything to it, because they're out there full force right now.
Yeah, you know, we've noticed that too. There are certain people, you know, you notice that you'll have friends and family and groups and things like that. And I'm just getting deluged with emails saying, what is going on? People are going crazy. And I've seen that people that don't know how to keep their energies clear or have mistakenly called on energies for power over others or various reasons are actually inviting these energies in, and they love the chaos, and they love the confrontation energy. They love the anger and againstness and separation. You know, they thrive off of that. Right. And you know, unfortunately, there are some people with just weak minds that cannot block this out or cannot catch themselves and go, you know what, this isn't good. You know, this isn't love. This doesn't feel good. And I've seen that happening a lot with a lot of different people, people that you would really think had enough training and enough, have actually been in the observer mode for a long time and been able to watch all this stuff are now totally succumbing to it.
So maybe we should talk a little bit about what people can do to keep themselves clear of
Sounds
that energy.
Good.
You know, like if you sit down and meditate and get yourself all quiet and call in the high archangels and ask them or demand that only the highest and truest and best can manifest onto me, you know, and all others must back away because it is the law, you know, and really state your truth that they can't affect you, you know.
And exactly.
Yeah, and that they have to, and if you need the help from the higher archangels and everything, just don't hesitate to call them in, you know, because it's a really important thing that's happening right now. And Pluto is the god of the underworld, underground, the Dark Lord. And so that actually went into Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn, which is, you know, a derivative of Satan because it's been the karmic planet. And so it went in November of 2008 is what it did. And being that Pluto is in Capricorn, it's tearing down all structures. and transforming them, because Pluto is its rules birth, death, transformation, and the dark side. And so it started in 2008 when the stock market crashed, you know, and then all of the businesses and everything that started, corporations that started going under, Pluto started doing its transformation work. And as long as Pluto is in Capricorn, it's going to continue transforming the businesses and the governments. And it's also, it rules structures. And if you think back to 2008, how many structures have been destroyed? Like, look at all the structures that were just destroyed in this tornado. You know, that's part of the manifestation of Pluto in Capricorn. And so with that Pluto in there, you know, these things will continue to go on. And then Pluto also rules, like, the dark controllers, the banking ones, you know. And so I believe that the banking system is going through transformation. People say it's going to crash and it'll be down to nothing, but I have never felt that. You know, I could be wrong, but I just haven't felt it. I feel like it's a transformation. And Sagittarius is what rules the banking system. And Pluto rules the banking controllers, the presidents, et cetera. And look at how they've been going down big time lately. And so
they're fleeing like rats. They're jumping ship and fleeing like rats. And, you know, there's all these emails going around different groups saying that, you know, they're going to be arrested and arrests are imminent and things like that. And we've have been hearing that for years, you know. And yes. I've been saying, hey, I'll be happy when I see their beady little eyes, you know, peering behind bars. But I think it is going to happen. I just think there's a lot of false starts, you know, in that program.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, you can tell by what's going on, you know, all the lawsuits that are coming out. And Sagittarius also rules lawsuits and lawyers. And when the governor of Massachusetts, the woman governor of Massachusetts, filed a lawsuit against the five of the major banks for fraud, then I thought, wow, this is like the real beginning of it. And
the note
will be in Sagittarius until the end of August. And so I'm looking for the transformation of the money system to be complete by then, because then the node moves sign. And so the node has been in Sagittarius for, it takes a year and a half to go through one sign. And so for the last year and a half, it's been on the financial system, you know. And so all the people that are out of work, they don't have any jobs, you know, because of the economy and stuff like that, that's the cycle that it's been in. And then with Sagittarius ruling the lawsuits, there's a whole bunch of lawsuits that have been filed. But you know how our courts grind really slowly.
Oh, yeah.
And so it takes a while.
Or they get into the justice system, you know. And I've seen that kind of blown apart, though. But I know that, you know, the good old boys, they control most of the justice system. But there are some people that still have integrity and still are going by the law, and so, you know, these are bursting out everywhere and exposing, you know, just a lot of the shenanigans that have come down.
And it's really interesting, because I was told like years ago that there's two different factions fighting for control of the world, you know. And that the light ones had infiltrated into our government system, too, in different spots, you know, and that it would come in first as a new world order, where it would look like everything would be total controlled, and then it would all of a sudden just change into the government of light. And I'd like to share a dream I had. This was a couple of years ago, and I had the dream in September. And the first part of the dream was that I was with a bunch of people, and on a hill, and we were all saying, the light has won, the light has won, you know. And then so last September, I was telling some friends there, and so they said, well, let's go up on the sacred site that's right down here, not too far from my house. And so we did, and we had a ceremony up there. And the next day, there was a 6.8 earthquake on Vancouver Island, which opened up all the energy for the Pacific Northwest. And that's... you know, that's the acupuncture point. So it goes all the way into what is considered from the Book of Enoch, the New Jerusalem, which runs from Vancouver Island down to Mount Shasta. And so it opened up energy in that whole area, higher energy. And then the second part of the dream was that I was with a bunch of people at the beach. And all of a sudden, we went to sleep. And that might be symbolic, too, of like the 3 days of darkness or something. And then when we woke up, everything had changed. Everything. We were standing on a hill instead of on the beach. And then they were setting up a new government, for lack of a better word, of light. And so I think that that's on the agenda in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I've been getting that same information. It's kind of interesting because the some of the messages I've been getting, the telepathic messages from the Palladians, is that there's a whole new groups that have come in. And whereas before it was a hands-off policy, now they're actually getting their hands dirty and they're saying enough's enough.
Right.
And they're cleaning up all the mess that and all the other interference that went on to get us to where we are right now. And so we're in the middle of a major cleanup process. And they talk about it. They said they work with natural cycles and cosmic events, and they utilize those energies and join, you know, their energies with it as well, you know, to assist in this awakening and healing process. And they're making it very clear that they came to reset the earth and get it back on track and, you know, get it back on the Eden program, you know, versus this petty bickering control, you know, enslavement and dependency
with
program.
Coming up, you know, in May 20th, lined up with the Palladian system and then the darkness, you know, it runs, well, from Medford, Oregon, down to Mount Shasta, and then across the United States is where the darkness will fall. And so that's a major, major thing for it to be lined up with our central sun, you know, and for that to happen.
Yeah. Oh, and that does make sense. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I've heard from some other people that there are some groups that are the ones that are taking out the bases, you know, are it's kind of like not just one group, but there's some major Palladians and some Andromedans and some of the other ultra-dimensional beings
too.
Are stepping in.
Yes, yes. And when it happened on August 23rd or 24th, you know, and that was amazing. And what I was told was that, like, when the base under Washington, D.C., because I had went there, not physically, but astrally. This was several years ago, and so I knew it was there, you know, because I had seen it in the astral, you know, or whatever, you know, out of the body thing. And so what I was told that base was connected with the base on the dark side of the moon, and that they also took out that base on the dark side, and that was a real controlling factor, and that they had this huge machine on the moon that would control everything. And so that was connected up with Washington, D.C., right underground there. And so that's why that particular area was the control center. Well, now with the moon base, that control being gone, the machine being destroyed, the base being destroyed, there's basically, that's why I don't think, another reason I don't think that the dark side can take over, because their control is gone. You know, they just don't realize it. We're just seeing the ending part of it. But without those machines that they had, they can't control anymore.
Yeah, so, I've heard that. I've heard that as well. There was one, I think, off the coast of Japan or something, or there was another huge underground base that they were actually transmitting energies that were, you know, really messing with people. And I know they're using those energies through Gwyn Towers and Cell Towers and other towers as well, because I went into Portland about a week ago, a little over a week ago. I went into Portland and I felt the transmissions going on. And I just went, oh my God, you know. And when you're living in the forest, out in the wilderness, and you come into town, you feel it. But the people there are like a frog in a pot. They don't even know these transmissions are going on, you know, unless they're really sensitive, and they're probably getting, you know, feeling all these anxiety and fear attacks and things like that.
Oh, but, yes, yeah. Yeah, so I'm waiting for the HARP thing to be gone. That's still there, as far as I know, but the underground bases aren't, so that's a real plus. But the HARP thing, as far as I know, is still there, and I'm hoping that they will be gone pretty soon too.
Yeah, maybe. and the chemtrails that correspond with it. You know, I just got some emails to the other day, and it just totally confirmed my suspicions, you know, with, I guess, our buddy there in our local area, Bill Gates, is invested heavily in chemtrails, in the chemtrail program, and heavily in Monsanto and the aluminum altered genetics, aluminum resistant seeds, you know, and you know, and then he has what's that place over in Norway, invested heavily in that, you know, in the big seed pool there, and has invested heavily in eugenics, where the thermosol, you know, is you know, up to 100 even more times over the toxic level in the vaccines that they're, you know, heavily involved in, and supposedly, you know, healing the children or whatever. But yeah, you look at the whole picture here and you go, oh my God, you know, this is just unbelievable. Yes, and he's going on YouTube and even saying it. He said, with the new vaccines, we're going to cut the population down such and such and such and such. He keeps saying it over and over again, and I don't even think he realizes what he's saying. He's like losing it. And he's just giving it up. You know, he's giving it up like he's saying, you know, hey, I'm Mr. Genocide, or I'm Mr. Eugenics. And you know, these people, I think, are just going insane. And they're spilling the beans. They can't maintain their consciousness. They can't keep their act together, and they're just losing it and letting the cat out of the bag constantly.
Right, yeah, yeah. And then, well, we knew all that this was coming, you know, that it would get very chaotic and at the end. I didn't know it would get as chaotic as it is. But like in the Revelations, the ending of the 19th chapter, it talks about how the war would start. And that in North Africa, and that's exactly where it started with Tunisia, you know, when the riots there, and then it went to Egypt and Libya, and now they're playing a game with Iran and Israel, you know. And so that's part of the 19th chapter of Revelations, and so that's gone on for over a year now. And I don't know if that will continue more. I don't know if they're going to be allowed to do the Israel-Iran thing or not. I'm hoping that they don't, but the planets look kind of chaotic for, you know, kind of like warlike energy.
And you can't really go by anything you're hearing, especially out of the mouths of the politicians all the way up to the top. Because, I mean, they're saying one thing and doing exactly the opposite over and over and over again. So, you know, if you're listening to mainstream media and listening to their words, you're not going to have a clue as what's going on. You've got to look behind the curtain, you know, just what's really happening.
But then the 20th chapter is going on simultaneously. You know, okay, the 17th and 18th chapter was the war in Iraq, and that's over, you know, and then it went into the other war with that. And so now the 20th chapter, in my interpretation, talks all about the downfall of the controllers. And I don't know exactly how long that will take. I hope it's over by May of this year, or if not, at least by the end of this year. And then after that, we go into the new heaven and the new earth. And that is very beautiful, because I saw it in a vision in the 80s, and that's what been kept me going and writing my article for all these years, because I know that it's on the agenda. So it's the higher frequency earth, and I know it's very beautiful, and all of this dark stuff is gone. It's just like well, when you change a radio station, you know, one station can be on one, and then you just turn the dial and you move on another station, and you don't even know how it happens, you know? And so, like my dream, we could just go to sleep if there is a 3 days of darkness, or we could just be asleep and all of a sudden wake up and we're in a different reality, still on the planet Earth, but on a higher frequency Earth.
I tell you, I'm all for a different reality, because this one, I mean, the play that's happening here, I would like to pull my pen out and totally rewrite it, but I know it is going to be rewritten, and there really is no way that the dark hearts are going to be taken over, because, you know, it's like the whole multiverse is behind this, and the cosmic energies and alignments and everything is all against their program. It's not, even their very existence is not frequency specific to the planet anymore, or where the solar system is in the cosmos. So, you know, I don't see any way whatsoever, possibly, as, you know, try as they might, that they can maintain any sort of control whatsoever or even their own physical existence towards the end.
And maybe divine intervention is the photon belt coming in, because I heard just the other day that the photon belt was, you know, like outside of our system, and they called it the blue fluff, mm-hmm. the blue magnetic field. And then I heard just the other day that's now inside of our solar system. And that's a magnetic field. And I've experienced that myself because mm-hmm. I have gone to, well, in the last year and a half, but anyways, in the last, since Thanksgiving, I have gone through 3 car batteries and 2 alternators.
Hmm.
And I've taken them in, they die, my battery dies. And so I went into Les Schwab, and they're a really good company, and so they stand behind their stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had 3 free batteries and two. I had to pay for 1 alternator, but the second one was free. And so they can't find anything wrong with my electrical system. They have checked everything and can't find anything wrong. And I happen to live on a vortex in my house, and so
yeah.
I'm being affected more by the photon belt, which seems to, you know, come in like spurts or something like that. And then my computer went down totally. I lost everything on my computer. This was right after Thanksgiving. My copier downstairs broke, my vacuum cleaner broke, and a couple other things. It was all in that one cycle. And I thought, boy, mm-hmm. I'm really being bombarded with this magnetic energy, that particularly batteries. That's what it
yeah.
does affect batteries and electronics.
Yeah, we're having the same thing happen here, and it's been going on for quite some time, and it changes. It's really interesting. I did the same thing, and one of my vehicles, I had to put 3 new batteries in it, one after another. And
wow,
and
same here,
the guy goes, what'd you do to this battery? He goes, it's totally fused on the inside.
Right.
And I said, I didn't do anything. And 2 alternators, too. I had to put, you know, a new alternator in one of the vehicles. But, you know, that's been going on, and we're still I'm still having problems keeping batteries charged, you know, and if I don't start cars up every 2 or 3 days, you know, they'll drain sometimes. And it, you know, just a lot of the little units, if you leave batteries out here, you just leave them out sitting, they go dead really fast.
Right, yeah, so it's like the same thing at my house. So I've been kind of afraid to drive my car for any distance because I don't want to get caught with a dead battery again, you know.
Yeah.
Any distance from home. So.
And they say torsion fields do that, you know. So if you're on a vortex or if you're having a lot of ships flying overhead, those frequencies seem to not coexist real well with batteries. But I found out lately, I've kind of made a deal on, you know, it sounds crazy, but I kind of made a deal with my car and made friends with my battery, you know, and I know how to charge batteries. I actually hold batteries in my hand and charge them. So that problem kind of stopped so far.
Uh-huh. And, yeah. Well, mine's been good for like about a month now. Let's see. It was 1st of February when my last battery went, and I told a few friends, and they all got together and said, "Okay, we'll heal your car for you." And so it's been running great for a month. So I'm mm-hmm. I'm expecting that to last.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
So we have to use a different approach here.
Put a little shield around it, or I don't know, maybe we have to help the batteries ascend too, you know, to the next level.
Uh-huh, yeah. But there's been other things too, like cell phones going out, and
uh-huh.
A lot of people have told me, well, their computer went down. I don't know how many people told me that their computer went down after I told them that mine crashed, you know.
Yeah, we're having problems here. We actually just got a new modem because it just fried, and you know, I think there's some other things playing here too, because my radio show, I have a broadcasting unit that I use so I can go over the air, and I had an electrician look at it, and he said it was fried from the cord and from the phone line at the same time, and it was just toast on the inside. So, you know, I don't know if that was lightning or if that was some of the black helicopters flying over, or who knows. You know, they have all kinds of little toys they play with.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yeah, so we just have to keep hanging in here and just keep spreading the light around and staying on the high frequency. And you know, like if people could just learn, because we are consciousness, and what we think is what we create. And so with everyone getting totally chaotic like they have been, you know, that just adds to the whole mess. So if we could get enough people to take, like, maybe even just 5 minutes every day to sit down and meditate and become very peaceful and to send this energy out to the rest of the world, I think that would help a lot.
Oh, definitely. And you know, one of the lamas, I love what he said. You know, he said enlightenment is so simple. He said just focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. And, you know, live a life of service. And it really is that simple. And if we could just become the observer and watch ourselves and watch when we're in the ego and we haven't dropped down into the heart, you know, all our problems are usually coming from this me program and the separation program. And if we could just catch ourselves and drop back down to the heart and shift into a service-oriented reality, I think everything would run fine. And I noticed almost every time when you start having problems, it's usually the me or the ego didn't get what it thinks it needs, you know, from, and it's a lot of this goes all the way back to childhood.
Right, yeah. Oh, and then this last full moon on February 7th, it was on Aquarius Leo, and it was on 18 degrees Leo, and Leo rules the heart and the back. And this is like a wake-up call for a lot of people, because I know several people who had heart challenges right around before and at the full moon and after the full moon, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's because we have to be in the heart energy now. And this is what's going to take out a lot of people, because if they can't vibrate to their heart and think with their heart, they're not going to be able to move into the higher frequency earth, because they won't be able to handle it, because that's heart-centered. Mm-hmm. And it's not ego-centered. And the ones that are ego-centered and all angry and can't vibrate to their heart, they're going to have a real problem here.
Yeah, I've always felt like there's something going to happen with this alignment with galactic plane. And there's going to be some massive magnetic energy, you know, zipping through the planet here and surrounding the planet. And we're getting hit with one solar flare after another and coronal mass ejections,
yes,
which are affecting the magnetic fields around the body. And the denser fields are the ones that are harboring, you know, the false beliefs of separation and greed and the victim roles and all these other things that are, you know, the old wounds and traumas are all in these baser fields. And I think they're just getting activated and are just going to get eventually just blown away. And the people that are going to be left standing are the ones that are connected to their soul level of consciousness and in the heart and that are vibrating with the higher frequencies of love and joy and bliss and service.
Right. And we are in the year of magic and bliss. We've been in that for like July of last year until July of next year, you know, and this is sixth dimension energy, and so different spots have vibrated to that, but I mean, you can still vibrate to it, but then if you don't connect to it, it doesn't make any difference. And so if we could start connecting to that energy of magic and miracles, it would sure make this time period a lot easier.
Yeah, it definitely would. I'm saying, too, is that we have to withdraw our support and, you know, even our energies on trying to force somebody else to do something and then start creating the world we want to see.
Yes.
You know, it is so important to shift into creationary mind and start focusing on what you want and kind of just let go of this old program and let it die. I mean, it's going to. There's nothing we can do to stop it, but we can go with the flow and create a whole different program or a whole different world.
Right, yeah. Well, there's another thing that happened that's major that just happened in February. And on February 3rd, Neptune moved into the sign of Pisces to stay. Mm-hmm. Now, Neptune is the female goddess. Some people say that Neptune's male, but that's just been a cover-up you know, because they threw all the women out of the church and everything and wouldn't give them any status. So Neptune is a higher energy of Venus, and Neptune is the goddess. And Neptune was, it's my understanding, it was the first planet created in our solar system. And so there was a lot of karma that built up from the things that happened there and then down to the other planets. And so there were several of us that came in to clear off that path that went all the way back to Neptune. And so as of February 3rd, all of the karma from the planet Neptune, and that's where the creator gods came from too, Enki and Enlil. And so all that karma has been now, it's gone with Neptune going into Pisces. And Pisces is the creative sign. It's the illusion sign. It's a sign of dream time. It's this very soft, gentle planet, and it's very in a very soft, gentle sign because Neptune is in Pisces, and that's the sign that it rules. And it will be there until for many, several years, until 2026, I think. And so this is bringing in the goddess energy because that's what it rules. And so that's where
and we could sure use that.
Yes, and so that's where the doorway to heaven opened on February 3rd when Pisces when Neptune went into Pisces, and in the Mayan calendar, the 10-day doorway opened, and there was also an earthquake, you know, right before that too.
And have you you've heard of the rattlesnake prophecies, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's about this huge wave of energy that goes out, you know, and it goes out and it bends around Orion and the Pleiades, and then it spins around. It's like a snake, and it comes in and it comes back to the earth. And we're supposedly moving into those prophecies, that this huge serpent energy, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people have different names for it, is returning. It's a good thing. It's not a negative thing. It's just a really high frequency energy that and maybe this is this photon belt that they're talking about.
It could very well be. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. You know, cause, well, the serpents are like the serpents of wisdom. The serpents have been given a very bad name, you know, over the years. But actually, the serpent in a person's body just refers to the kundalini. You know, and once the kundalini is lit, then you can become one with your God force.
Yeah. A lot of people mistake it for that, and then they tie it into the Dracos or the reptilian energies and the other things. So it's really interesting not to pigeonhole things right now that, you know, that anything has to do with a serpent or the kundalini or the energy may not be the devil, you know, and
and
not even the reptilians are the devil, you know, but there are some very self-serving reptilians out there that have been running amok.
Yes, there are. I agree with you there too.
And some low-level grays and things like that.
Yeah. But I think that everything we've been told, we need to look at everything we've been told. Because what we've been told is good for us is probably bad for us, and what we've been told is bad for us is probably good for us.
Yeah, it's been a total reversal. You know, I always tell people if you really want to know what's going on, just turn on the mainstream news and then listen to the politicians and then totally reverse it.
Right.
And you'll reverse whatever you're hearing, and you'll have a really good picture of what's going on.
Yeah, and thank
and
goodness
look at,
for
the... look at the three fingers pointing back, you know, when somebody's pointing the finger at this group or that group.
And thank goodness for the Internet. And someone told me that the Internet was like fifth-dimension energy, and I thought, well, wow, maybe it is, you know, because look how it's connected the whole world. And people can, you know, connect up to it, and it's like a World Wide Web. I mean, it is a World Wide Web. And it's like the Spider Woman spinning her web, you know, all over the world and with the communication that goes everywhere.
Yeah. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour. We've got another broadcast that's coming in right after this, so we're going to have to wrap it up. God, this went like a freight train. It's amazing
how fast this went. Fast, isn't it?
Yeah. I was hoping to get some callers. Do you want to take a couple calls?
Sure.
I don't know if we have any callers on the line right now, but we'll see if anything pops up. But I kind of told them we'd hold off on callers. But You know, before we sign off, I want to what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to get your newsletter or you know, any other information that you have to offer?
Well, I have my blog, and the address to that is just www.mahalosastrology.com. And if you want to go, if they want to go in and see that video I was talking about the Mexican man talking about the May 20th eclipse, that's on my blog. And then if they want to, they can send me an email at planetalert@hotmail.com. That would be good.
Great. And then also, too, so we've got some you know, major alignments. I hate to – we've only got maybe 3 minutes left, but what do you see for this spring? I mean, feeling a huge shift.
I hate to say it, but all chaos is going to break loose, you know, if we think we've got it bad now. Like you said earlier, like it starts in March. Well, it does after the spring equinox, when the sun goes into Aries, because then it's going to kick off the cardinal cross. And the cardinal cross is fast acting, and it's going to have Uranus in there, which is a planet of change. And there's going to be one change right after another. And it kind of will be nonstop. It will just continue. Mm-hmm. And everything, if we think things are moving fast now, it's going to get even faster. And so we really have to plan our day if we want to get anything done, because it seems like the sooner you get up in the morning, then it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, and it's going to seem like it'd be a really good time to stock up on the popcorn and pull out the lawn chair and become the observer and just focus on love and joy and bliss and just let it run its course.
That's right. Know? Yep. Yeah, just we have front row seats to this big movie that's going on.
Yeah, and if you feel you want to jump in and participate somewhere that will push things in a forward motion or in a good way, then by all means do so.
Uh-huh. That's right, yeah. And pretty soon we might have people focus on getting into their heart chakra fast enough. We might have people levitating around the place and doing, you know, things, fun things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm just looking forward to the end of the prophecies where – I love the Lakota prophecies where they talk about the beast, you know, that's 2,000 miles wide. Uh-huh. And it's going to have its reign for 2,000 years, and it's going to try to control and dominate and consume everything. But eventually it just consumes itself and implodes and collapses. And then we have the big galactic reunion, you know, we reunite with all of our ancient ancestors, the ultra-dimensionals, the off-worlders, everything. And then the Earth gets cleaned up really fast. So I'm all for that one. That's the one.
And I think that this is the year.
Yeah, and I want to be on the tail end of that one. That's, you know, where everything's getting cleaned up and we're all working together, you know, and having fun again.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Well, anyway, we're out of time, unfortunately. I can't thank you enough for giving us an update on the show. We'll have to do it again. If you've got some breaking news, just let us know and we'll get you on the show again.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And it was fun.
All right, have a great
day. Bye-bye.
All right, it's James Gillen signing off, your host. Have a great day, and be sure and stock up on that popcorn and anything else you need. Get your lawn chair out and watch these exciting times unfold. Have a great day. All right, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We have an awesome guest here. We have Dean Clifford. And if you don't know who Dean is, you haven't been paying attention, because he's really shaking up the system and empowering people and getting people to wake up to their sovereignty and the power, their own power within. And I guess I could go on forever about this, but I'd rather just get into the interview. So, Dean, I'm sure you're with us. Welcome to the show.
I'm here.
Yeah. You know, basically, I saw your last two interviews and on YouTube, the two-part series where you kind of separate the mirror effect of who you are, you know, versus statutory law and you know, the statutory law.
Oh,
and then,
yeah. There was three parts to that, actually. I think the third one's out now, too, and then there's still a whole other video from Hamilton, Ontario we haven't released yet, where I got this really wicked handlebar mustache. You guys would want to watch that one.
Yeah,
awesome.
Definitely, yeah, definitely we'll watch it. I got through the first. All right, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We have an awesome guest here. We have Dean Clifford,
And if you don't know who Dean is, you haven't been paying attention. Because he's really shaking up the system and empowering people and getting people to wake up to their sovereignty and the power, their own power within. And I guess I could go on forever about this, but I'd rather just get into the interview. So, Dean, I'm sure you're with us. Welcome to the show.
I'm here.
Yeah. You know, basically, I saw your last two interviews and on YouTube, the two-part series where you kind of separate the mirror effect of who you are, you know, versus statutory law and the statutory law.
There was three parts to that, actually. I think the third one's out now too, and then there's still a whole other video from Hamilton, Ontario we haven't released yet, where I got this really wicked handlebar mustache. You guys would want to watch that one.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely we'll watch it. I got through the first two, and then I didn't quite finish the second one, only because our internet went bonkers here, and we're doing the snowpocalypse thing here right now.
I heard about that. Yeah. I said something about, I was hoping to get some pics.
Oh, yeah, I'll send it. We have missile trees right through our roof and things like that. So,
sweet.
Tree missiles. But I thought it was funny to me. Everybody's going, oh, and I go, well, that's, you know, that's nature. But anyway, we've had a lot of internet. Hopefully this Skype will hold up, you know, through this interview. But we've had a lot of internet problems out here because of the high winds and bouncing cables and everything. But anyway, that being said, I'd love to go into that a little bit on kind of letting people understand who we really are versus who the state or the government would like to categorize us.
That better.
No, that's your side of the coin.
Oh, that's my side. Oh, yeah, you want me to talk for a while?
Yeah.
Now. Okay, well. Seeing as how you guys are down in the States, I used to try to tailor things for that a little bit. And actually, those videos that were from Chilliwack, which is just north of you guys there.
Okay.
That's where that was recorded, Chilliwack, BC there, right north of you guys. So it's still not complete. I'm going to be clarifying where I'm going with that when I do the Toronto one coming up on March 10th, actually. But I even told people, like, this is just basic concepts. If you can even understand capacity and that people serve in different capacities and that you've got this title or a trade name out there you can use and it's not you, it's a boat that you're out there floating around on, then there's no point going on to the next step of concepts. You guys seem to have picked that up rather well, though. You mm-hmm. seem to have the county on the run there, and they don't want to mess with you guys no more, so that's good. Down in the States, it's pretty simple, really. We spoke about that at the beginning when we were talking there privately off camera, and what people don't seem to understand is that the famous quote there, I think that was Benjamin Franklin, you know, when he came out after signing the Constitution there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, what kind of a government did you create? And he said, well, a republic if you can keep it. How long did that last? About 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years later, everybody's registering to vote for the democratic government. Well, who the hell is that? That's not what the Constitution created. Yeah. And we just spoke about that a couple of minutes ago. Is it like the deal you got going on there, right, with one-shot deals?
Uh-huh.
Right? The Constitution was a one-shot deal. You don't need regulating in government after that. You just need a government that obeys that document, all these other laws and everything. What would government do if they didn't have a body that sat around, thought up 100,000 new laws every year to make new criminals and build new jails? So they got everybody to voluntarily leave the republic, where you don't need to vote for politicians. And you voted in a democracy. You registered to vote with a different form of government. You left the republic. It's the house that no one lives in. Mm-hmm. So go back to it. Take yourself off the voting registry. Send them a declaration that says, hey, I'm rescinding any assumed or presumed contracts or constructive agreements with the state. I'm going back to the republic. Have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
Leave. Just go back to it, right? That's the difference in capacities. Now, you still have that vessel, that the birth certificate, live birth record vessel, the commercial entity. Use it. You have every right to participate in commerce. Just without the regulation of the state. As long as you obey the Constitution, you're free to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, and that's a tough one. That's a tough one because people have just gone ahead and accepted, you know, this other program that was put upon them, and through ignorance and through, you know, I was involved in that, you know, and I'm still, pulling myself out of it, but it's such a dense, heavy program. It's been going on for so long. You catch yourself all the time. You go, oh, damn. You know, it's like I'm over on this side of the fence again. You know, I got to get back where I'm supposed to be, you know, on the Republic side of the fence.
Well, hey, you went to democratically run schools for how many years? And you've been living in that system now for the rest of your life. And you gotta rephrase your mind. People think they can come out to a 1 day conference, you know, and then they're like, oh, yeah, got it. Okay, I'm out.
Yeah,
not the case.
Are you kidding me? Like, oh my God, 99% of these people that watch the videos, and then I get an email from them asking me a question. I'm like, did you not watch the video? And you're already off doing something that makes absolutely no sense. Or like, oh, what do you think about this? And I get sent to a link of some guys doing something completely asinine. They're like, this is a great idea. I'm like, okay, sure, go ahead and do that. I stay away from a lot of the internet stuff. I used to Skype a lot, but I just realized a lot of people out there are just fucking nuts. So I've just been kind of doing my own thing and speaking with everybody I like and doing interviews and stuff like that. But there's every other day someone new is popping up with wonderful advice on how to beat the system. Like, I don't know, ignoring absolutely every notice that the courts and the government sends you. Just ignore it altogether and they have no contract with you. It's like, oh my God, no. So people are going to jail, people are losing their homes, people are trying to just stop paying their mortgages altogether and then start a fight with the banks, they're losing their home. And I'm telling people in the videos, don't do that. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Don't do that. You don't learn about, you know, oh my God, you hear about this new thing called boxing and then watch a video of somebody boxing for 2 minutes and go, right, okay, let's go. I'm ready to take on the world champ.
Yeah.
Like, no, you guys are nuts. Come on. What are you doing? Don't be doing stupid things like that. So that's kind of the point of one of the next ones I'm teaching in Toronto, too, and where we're going with all this. What I discussed in the videos in Chilliwack there with the – I want to show you – the video said that there was a difference between the two names, the all caps names, right? Mm-hmm. So I want people to get that difference in their right through their head so they know, okay, there's this identity and there's this identity. Because the real shocker is going to come when they find out it's the same identity. It's just wherever you decide to contract with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Great, yeah.
If I want to use my title and go open up a McDonald's, then I guess I better obey McDonald's regulations. If I want to open up my own franchise, then I guess I'm going to obey whatever my new franchise rules are. Mm-hmm. It's the same entity. But people have contracted with the state. Or they believe they've contracted the state, or the states believe they've contracted with them, and they wind up in summary convictions. Is it called the same thing down in the U.S. there, summary convictions?
Summary judgment, yeah. I think.
Summary judgment, the same thing, okay? Yeah. And also, you don't want summary judgment. In summary judgment, it's already agreed that you have a contract with the state or that you are there in a certain capacity. That's a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. The court operates on presumptions at that point, right? It's presumed that, and jurisdiction is presumed. And that's why they created summary judgment, summary conviction. There's a whole story why they did that in the United States to get around the Bill of Rights and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Well, let's just create something called summary conviction, right? And it's all complete horseshit. And is if people were to go in there like you guys have done and just challenge even just the most simple of concepts, their entire case falls apart. And you guys witnessed that, eh? So
yeah.
Persevere. Don't get into stupidity. Just persevere and ask simple questions, but be very consistent with it. That's all you did, Nate. You went in there. Nothing you did was difficult, was it? Well, just simple concepts, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, oh, man. The first time I went in there, I was talking about just one concept, you know, for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and they couldn't answer it, could they?
And I may have allowed them to rope me into focusing on that too much. Anyway, you know, it's a learning process. So many people all over the world don't want to be involved and don't want to be, you know, told what to do, all these crazy statutes. But they may not even realize that they have another option. You know, so many people just assume that, yeah, I'm a party to this government, and the government, whether I like it or not, they have control to tell me what to do, all this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, realize, oh, you know, voting is kind of a sham, but fuck, I might as well get out there and try and vote for the one dude that's the lesser of two evils. You know, what do you have to say to people that don't realize that there's a, you know, another option, basically?
It's an evil of two lessers.
Because, you know, maybe not everybody that's listening to the show here is super well aware of, like, the you know, concepts of the free man movement or sovereignty, or
the whole voting system is a scam to get you involved in that system. Oh man, I'm going to go and vote to change things. Oh man, we got to get Obama in. Oh man, we got to get Obama out. Oh man, now we got to get this guy out. Oh man, that guy turned out to be terrible too. Now we got to get that guy out. Oh man, I'm going to register to make sure that guy gets voted out. Well, that's what gets you into the system. We don't have to vote people out or in, because the people that are in are supposed to obey one law and one law only, the Constitution. Otherwise, it's not the proper constitutional government, period. Mm-hmm. They can't pass laws that violate that. You don't give a shit what laws they pass. You shouldn't care about who's even in office as long as they do. Stop voting. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm real big on that. I always tell people to not vote in Canada. That's my catchphrase is stop voting. You're only encouraging them. We don't need these people. And not only that, I mean, if less than 50% of the people stop caring about this stuff anymore, because it's nonsense. What kind of a mandate do these people now have? They have no mandate. They're not even a legitimate government, even by their standards anymore. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we don't have laws anymore? No. Yeah. There's plenty of laws without government. In fact, we'd be better off without these people. I think that's even a joke there. One of the videos I posted there about with Nigel Farage there, where he's bashing the EU president and stuff like that, talking about Belgium, where it's not even a real country because they haven't had a government in 2 years. They haven't had any government in 2 years. What, has Belgium fallen apart? Are they just, you know, they don't exist anymore? They're on the map, there's just a black hole there of lawlessness? No, in fact, apparently the country's doing quite well, better without the government. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they have one still.
You know, I've got a question. You know, they passed this NDA 1867, I think it is. But the one that takes away all your rights whatsoever. They can arrest you anytime, anywhere, the military actually.
Sure, sounds good.
Yeah, and throw you in Guantanamo indefinitely with no trial, nothing. Yeah. You know, and everybody was freaking out about that. And I go, well, right out the gate, that law is null and void. It's total contrary to the Constitution. Why are you agreeing to it? You know, I'm not agreeing to it. But, you know, they do have the guns and the program.
If you are a 14th Amendment citizen, you are registered voter and you go right along with the American government that you vote for, that's actually a registered corporation in Puerto Rico, then you are going to Guantanamo if they feel like sending you there. There's no better time in the world for people to leave the democratic government of the United States and go back to the Constitutional Republic and send them a notice that they're doing that. Stop cooperating.
Yeah, and there was something in, I think it was in the most recent video where you were discussing this about the concept that, look, they do have the right to pass a law that is unconstitutional.
Yep.
They can do that, but it doesn't mean that once they've passed it, that law isn't void if you recognize that.
Yeah, it's null and void from the beginning. It's like what they've done in Canada here is that we've got something called the Bill of Rights that was passed in the 1960s by the Diefenbaker government. Mm-hmm. And it actually says right in there, no law should be constructed or construed so as to abridge or abrogate one of your rights or whatever, or abridge you of one of your rights. So there actually used to be a law in Canada that said that you can't even construe a law or construct one. Mm-hmm. That violates somebody's human rights or rights as a citizen. So what it is, years later, I think that was in the early 60s, in 64, 65, I think they just reincorporated a whole new government that is not the government that even passed that Bill of Rights at all. And then going up into the early 70s, they just they passed something else where they didn't even have to receive royal assent on any of their legislation anymore, because they couldn't get royal assent on legislation that violated the Charter of or the BNA Act, Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that came out in 1982. So they just basically they just started writing their own laws that doesn't even need royal assent anymore, which means they're not even laws. They don't have to check with anybody. They just pass nonsense. That, as long as you go along with it and you keep contracting with Canada and you're being a citizen of their corporation, it doesn't even need to pass the Bill of Rights check anymore. It doesn't nothing that they've passed since 1972 has received royal assent from the monarchy, which it's supposed to. It's just all nonsense. It's all bullshit, every single last piece of it. There's no point in even reading the stuff to find the loopholes to get out of it anymore. Stop. What is that, Susan Powder from back in the early 90s? Stop the madness.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop it. Stop the madness. Just stop reading it. Stop caring. Just get out. Get out. Leave. I'm going back to the Republic. I'm going back to the Commonwealth if you're in Canada. Commonwealth already has laws. They're well established. We don't need this government. Go away. Bye. Thank you.
Yeah, we have the same program here. You know, in our Constitution, it says, you know, Congress shall create no law that supersedes or whatever the Constitution. And they have. They've written law after law after law after law. We just need a major house cleaning or just get rid of the whole group altogether. And as you're saying, just go back to the Republic. We have everything we need. We don't need to be spending billions of dollars in pork barrel funds and all these other programs and military budgets and things like that that these guys are really unnecessary. Yeah. They're just money brokers, basically. They're not...
Let's do some deductive reasoning and logic here real quick. So if there is a part of the Constitution that does say that Congress shall pass no law that blah, 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 and then they go ahead and you got a modern Congress that is passing laws that allegedly violates blah, 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 one of two things is going on. Either they're committing treason because they have an oath to the Constitution and they're willfully violating it, or that's not the Congress that the Constitution created, therefore they're not committing treason.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
One of two, it's one of those two. So which one is it? Are these people committing treason? Doubtful. Or this is not the Congress that was created by the Constitution. It's a new one that was created under probably an executive order of the new private corporation government that's in charge. It's their Congress.
Right.
The Congress created by the Constitution probably is not there anymore because everybody's voting in members of Congress under the new government, democracy.
Yeah, so it's a matter of getting back to basics, getting back to the original intent of this country and getting rid of the hijackers.
If a bunch of people in a county somewhere in the United States, I don't want to say where, maybe Klickitat County, got together and voted in a member of Congress on behalf of the Republic, you might have the first member of Congress to be voted in the Republic in a couple of hundred years. He would be the only lawful authority on the land. He could probably tell the military what to do.
Good idea. Yeah. Yeah.
And start restoring lawful government. It's for the people to do that, not the government. You think they're going to start restoring lawful government?
Of course
not. No, the people have to do it. That's grassroots. Start voting in lawful members of Congress for the constitutional Republic Congress, because I don't think it exists anymore. I've been waiting to see if anybody's going to figure that out, because that's my hunch. But
yeah, you know, I was thinking about that too. Is like, as we're saying, most of us are kind of fledglings in this program and not even aware that that's a possibility or even how to go about that process. So, so most of my listeners, I mean, they're pretty hip. You know, most of our listeners kind of they know things are really messed up and have, you know, reached the height of unbridled greed and everything else going on and that there needs to be another way. But that's what I see with people like you and other people, you know, are actually pointing at, and hopefully in the future, maybe we can get some kind of a template that we could use to do exactly what you're saying, restore the Republic, you know, and move the power back to where it originally was intended to be.
Dear Secretary of State, I am a citizen of the Republic. Do you have proof to the contrary or a claim against my title or any of my anything?
Yeah.
Do you have a claim against me? If you do not reply in a timely fashion, I don't know, 10 days, it is agreed that you agree with me. I am a citizen of the Republic. I am sovereign. I obey the Constitution. And I don't believe your government is the government created by the Constitution. Yeah. Have a nice life.
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
That works. Yeah, I can make it more simple than that.
Just the finger.
You're pointing at, though, that the Republic is there. It's there if we recognize it. If we recognize it and choose to claim it and choose to
join it,
choose to acknowledge it,
pledge yourself to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Republic is there for you to pledge yourself to. It's the same here in Canada. Mm-hmm. That's I'm going to be covering that actually at the Toronto conference. I'm not going to spill the beans on that one, but everybody's pissed off right now because last time I did my tour. I was charging, I think, $39 or $49 for half the places that we went, or $50 or whatever. It was real cheap, and
jeez.
Shit, I couldn't even afford to pay the repair bills on my car when I got back home. I just made no money off it kind of thing. So we decided, okay, I'm going to go back to Toronto, and we're going to do one big one. It's going to be a whole weekend-long thing. We'll put it up at a hotel. We'll charge $250.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, my God, the shitstorm that's broken out online that people claim, oh, he's a shill now.
Come on.
He sold out to the government. He's charging $250. It's like, okay, number one guy, like, I got to fly there or drive there, right? It's 50 hours if I drive by the time I get home, all this shit or whatever. So, there's a big controversy brewing online right now. It's only a couple of people or whatever, the stupid thing that's going around. But, there's conferences out there. Somebody just sent me an email today. They're like, dude, look what they're charging for this one. It was like a $5,000 conference.
Totally.
Stuff down in the States. I'm like, oh, my God. Because we're actually teaching people the proper stuff. I mean, I know what's right. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm not in jail. I can prove this stuff, and it's only getting better all the time. So, but there's no question that that's some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about at the Toronto conference now for the people that do show up, because we're doing a filter process now. I don't want dumbasses coming out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it this is all there for us. All we have to do is go and pledge ourselves to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you were to walk into court with an oath where you swore yourself and your titles and estates to the Constitutional Republic, take a certified copy of that, take it into the courtroom with you, and you say, yeah, well, Justice, sitting on the bench, whoever you are, here's my oath to the Constitution and the Republic, and I've pledged myself and my assets, my reputation, my life to the Republic, created by the Constitution. Where's yours?
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't have one, I guess you now outrank him.
Yeah.
Can he willfully harm you now as a citizen of the Republic with constitutional protections?
No. Yeah.
No, and you've got your notarized copy of your oath right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Go file in the public record. Send a copy to your senator, your Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. So Dean, let's just look a little bit closer at that. I want to understand a distinction here, because a lot of times, you know, people might go into court and just start citing the Constitution.
Yes.
And that doesn't go over too well in a statutory court. Sometimes I've heard of some people saying the judge will say, I can't, it doesn't matter, I can't even hear that. You know, so there's a distinction that you're making. You don't just go in and start talking about the Constitution without first making the distinction that you are under the Republic, or you are of the Republic.
Because you don't have those protections unless you're a citizen of the Republic, which you're not if you registered to vote and you've been acting like a citizen of their democracy, their private corporation, for X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
So give notice, leave, let them know. It's always been your belief, understanding that you were of the Republic. It's just come to your knowledge, understanding that a constructive fraud may have been perpetrated against you.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything you may, that every contract you may or may not have entered into with this democracy is not valid because it was a mistake. You were led to believe it was something other than what it was, right? Like, state that however you want. Either way, they rely on your own ignorance. So obviously, as soon as you start throwing that kind of stuff around, and you can show up with a pledge to the Republic and say, well, yeah, actually, I am afforded those protections because, well, here's my pledge to the Republic.
Yeah. Is anybody going to rebut this?
I swore an oath here.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Now, if they say, well, now they can't say, I can't see that, it doesn't exist here, then you say, no, here's the problem. Those statutory charges that these people are coming after me with don't exist in my jurisdiction, buddy. And you've got a fucking duty to protect me, because if you're a justice, you've got an oath to this Constitution. And if we're in the wrong court, then you move this to the proper fucking court.
Mm-hmm. And Dean's just saying that for emphasis. You probably wouldn't say that, actually, in court.
I would, but I don't recommend most people do.
Right.
Yeah. So how do you deal with the contempt, charges of contempt? I know that...
Well, apparently if he doesn't have the jurisdiction to hear the Constitution, then he's not a real constitutionally appointed judge, so why are you worried about contempt with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is true.
When we get into a proper court, then I'll show you the respect under the Constitution you deserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, don't swear at them at first. Swear at them after they refuse to do that. Say, excuse me, are you refusing to uphold my constitutionally protected rights? Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I had a little run-in a long time ago with the state, and it was over child support and things like that, and they actually had a court case, and they decided I was a contractor and I was making $5,000 a month, and I had no contractor's license, wasn't working on any homes, nothing, you know, totally just made up the thing, you know. I can't remember the name, there's a name for that where they just make it all up. Whole thing wasn't served properly. I was out of the state, you know, and they.
I think they called out the current judicial system, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It was insane, and so I went to court. You know, I took them back to court again, and I told them, I said, and they read this whole thing, and then I brought in all my bank accounts and everything else, showing I was at the time I was based poverty. I was making about $700 a month. And I said, look, I'll pay what's reasonable. You know, I'm not saying there's a problem here. I'll pay what's reasonable. So they looked at all the documents and everything, and the DA was coming after me saying, yeah, this, that. And he goes, and the judge asked me, he goes, do you have any evidence whatsoever concerning this $5,000? And he says, no, you know, and so they dropped that. And then the judge turns around and goes, well, since they went through the proper means to establish this lien, you have to pay it. And I was just dumbfounded. And I went, excuse me, Your Honor. I said, in the state of Washington, isn't it against the law to collect a lien based on fraudulent information? And this has just been proven to be fraudulent information. And he goes, one more word out of you and it's contempt. And that was the end of that case.
And this is like years ago.
Yeah,
right?
This is years and years ago. This is like, and before I knew any of this stuff. And
contempt for what? They think you're going to shut up at that point. Like, ooh, I better be quiet.
Yeah. And that was my introduction to the court system on just the unbelievable fraud happening there and lack of any justice whatsoever. And I've had a couple other little dealings after that, you know, which turned out a little better. But it's just one after another. I've just seen that it's just insanity. There is no justice. There is no, and people need to learn the hard way. You know, they actually think that this system's just and correct and everything else.
There is justice if you know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. But
if you walk in there and they've taken you to summary conviction or summary judgment in the United States, they've already established that you are a 14th Amendment citizen of that private corporation,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you just walk in there and start yammering on about the Constitution, you're not afforded those protections, right? That's you're committing a fraud by trying to claim those protections.
Mm-hmm.
So you better clarify who you are first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then once you do, leave it up to them to say, no, that's not who he is. I have see this contract right here or something like that. And then have the judge mouth off at you, say one more, you know, well, you bring up the Constitution one more time, I'm going to hold you in contempt. You say, well, that's fine. I'm going to hold you I'm going to hold you for treason against the Constitution. Let's see who goes to jail longer. I'm okay with a contempt charge. How are you for a treason one?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I wish I knew a little more about that when my other little experiences, but you know, it was just a big, I think a lot of people have been chewed up and spit out of that system now, and they're looking for another approach, which is why we're doing this, to give people a solution.
Okay. Now here's something interesting is, to be honest with you, your senators might actually be legitimate de jure senators of the under the Constitution. I really don't know. There could be like a duality system going on there. Uh-huh. If you guys, I don't know the system much down there, but it makes sense to me because the same way you got a stamp for your organization there from, what is it, the Secretary of the State?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Why don't you send a copy of your pledge to the Constitution, the Republic, to like your senator or the Secretary of State for that state, and have them certify that, or apostille. Get it apostilled.
Okay.
Apostille is the highest form of standing there is, and then when you go into court, you can say, "Well, yeah, here's my apostilled copy of my oath to the Constitution and the Republic, pledging myself to it." Right? Mm-hmm. Is anybody disputing this? If they don't, then I guess you have constitutional protections. If they're violating your rights at that point, well, now they're in a whole whack of shit. Now you've got some facts, some evidence to back your claim. You've got protections under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That just makes sense to me. I don't know.
Well, I know there's a movement right now within the states, and I haven't looked in too much, but a lot of states are actually kind of abdicating because of the Obamacare and the NDA and everything else. They're actually saying, hey, you no longer have jurisdiction here. We're, you know, sayonara. So it's a big movement.
Virginia, didn't Virginia just pass something that nullified the NDAA within their state?
Yeah, they did.
So, it looks like a lot of these state senators are there. They want to be with the people, but the people need to wake up and realize that the senators need the support of the people of the Republic. Mm-hmm. But they're not around. They're not around. They keep saying, well, no, you know, all we got to do is vote in this guy and he's going to fix everything. Well, yeah, they said that about Obama. They said that about Bush. They said that about everybody, right?
Yeah.
No, just leave out. Start supporting these senators and sheriffs especially. I think they just had that big thing down in the States there that Sheriff Mack put on that.
That
big thing there where they trying to educate all the sheriffs on the Constitution and their
authority
as sheriffs and whatnot.
It's a big Oath Keeper gathering.
Oh man, support these people!
Oh yeah, we do. We do. We definitely do.
Yeah, all your listeners, everybody, they got to start supporting these people and get out of this stupid political race. And that's what it is. It's stupidity. You're fighting Monsanto, giving $1 billion to whatever their favorite candidate is. You can't fight that. So don't.
No. Yeah, the head of the Agriculture Department, I think, is being turned over to a Monsanto lawyer or something. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. The whole thing is fixed.
Well, I know you've been on our friend Max Egan's show from over in Australia.
Yeah, Max, yeah.
He's great. I love
Max. Yeah, you know, I mean, Max had a show, I don't know, maybe about a month ago where he was just talking about, like, look, folks, what's really going on is, like, the system is attempting to create total criminalization of like everything, every aspect of your life, so that every single person can be turned into a criminal off of some crazy statute, you know, whatever. So it really, I can totally see how more and more people, it's just becoming a necessity to learn about some of this stuff to be able to navigate living on this planet.
Uh-huh.
There's like what, 10 million laws on the books or more in the United States right now. It's ridiculous. I can't remember what the number was. When I actually heard it, I was shocked. Okay. Mm-hmm. If there's that many laws in the books, are you trying to tell me you obeyed every single one of them today?
Yeah. I'm sure
we're already there. They're not trying to create it. We're there.
Yeah.
That's a good time to leave. When you don't like McDonald's anymore, leave. When you find out the beef is not beef and it's nothing but glue and sawdust, leave.
Yeah, don't eat it. Yeah.
If I petition McDonald's enough, they'll go back to beef. No. They're not.
Yeah.
Leave.
Don't even try.
Yeah.
Don't even try. Go to a different restaurant. Go back to the one that you like, which is the Republic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think it would be awesome to put together you know, what you're doing, educating people, things like that, put together a little, those templates or those forms of what we were just talking about, and make them available to everybody and say, hey, shoot it off to your Secretary of State, shoot it off to your senator, shoot it off to reestablish yourself as a sovereign, you know, in the Republic, and just create a mass movement in that direction.
Well, the Pledge of Allegiance, take out the American flag part and just write the Pledge of Allegiance down on a piece of paper, swear it out before a notary, go get it apostilled, have three witnesses present, and send that to your Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. So I pledge allegiance to the Republic, right, instead of the flag?
Well, yeah, because I don't know what the flag represents, but you pledge allegiance to both of them in that pledge. I pledge mm-hmm. allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the Republic for which it stands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet my life on that.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny too. Spencer was just showing me something about that pledge has changed like four or five times throughout the years. And so, yeah.
I hear that flag's changed a couple times over the years.
Yeah, it was really interesting to look at how it was written out and had been changed over the years.
Yeah, how about you recite the one that they actually used to pledge to back when they created the Republic?
Mm-hmm.
The first one. Always go back to the original, man. That's where you're going to find the best shit.
Now, what about we talked about a little earlier about the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment that they dug up and found, where it basically says no lawyer or
no lawyers, or, no masons, nobody of any dual allegiance to say, oh, I don't know, like the 50% of the members of Congress and the senators that are dual citizens of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that kind of shit. That was one of the reasons for the war, the Civil War, was to get the last copies of the Constitution with that 13th Amendment ratified in there and destroy it.
Yeah.
Utterly.
Exactly. And, you know, so I'm wondering what is the copy they have? They say they have the original copy. You know, where is that? I'm trying to remember where it's stored, but.
I'm told there's like three copies.
There's
three different constitutions. I'm not even sure what the difference is. I'm Canadian. We don't know much about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we seem to know more, most Americans, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But there is the organic constitution, and that's the one that's mentioned in that letter that Wayne Stump, that senator of Texas, sending something to the Secretary of State, talking about citizens that have rescinded their contracts with the state and have gone back to the organic constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They know this shit. They know it up top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what makes me think there might be a lawful level of the government at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
But you're being hijacked somewhere in the middle, and you're being contracted with by this other one, which probably overlaps one another.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I was wondering why.
If you guys find out more on that, no.
I'm wondering why we swore an allegiance to these people in Portugal. You know, it's like I'm trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, so, Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico. Yeah, sorry, Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Puerto Rico, that's the only place that the American law has force and effect is inside Washington, D.C. itself and mm-hmm. Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Or no, that's the income tax. Whatever the income tax system is there. If you actually read through the income tax code or the IRS code or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it tells you right in there. It only has force and effect in Washington D.C. and Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Yeah. Being I don't live there.
I remember that from 12 years ago.
Yeah. That'd be a good one to cite and back to him. Just say, "What are you doing out here?"
Yeah, exactly. When did I move to Washington, D.C. or Puerto Rico? It's my understanding I exist in the Republic of Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. The there's so many different avenues to take here. It's and I'm sure you have things on your websites and other people are, I know the Creditors and Commerce and all these other ones, they're all starting to put these templates together and paperwork together to help people out.
What do you think about templates, Dean?
Because please don't ever use templates.
Yeah. Now, because a lot of people who are just learning, they need to have some sort of example to, you know, a place to even start from. You know, it's like before you learn to really go into a kitchen and just be able to cook. You know, like intuitively, like a lot of people like to be able to follow a recipe, but there's inherent dangers if you're just going out there and cutting and pasting and not really realizing what you're doing, trying to follow some template. So I don't know. You want to just comment on that a little bit?
realizing a better word would be understanding. If you don't understand what you're doing because the document looks fancy and impressive, they're going to realize you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't truly understand what your rights are, you don't have any, believe me. And they will teach you a lesson in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is that this is made to be simple. Law was made to be simple. That's why they're trying to make it difficult nowadays. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to sit down and write out a statement, two sentences long, that you're pledging allegiance to the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic it created? How hard was that? I just said that right now. I'm not an American. Okay, I don't need a template to do that.
Right.
I said it in no uncertain terms. I can walk in and I can explain that to a judge if I had to. Okay, that's how simple that is. You don't, in fact, simple is better. Again, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't go and look at examples people did on online. Great. Print it up on bond paper and have the border around the bond paper and print up those four lines and sign it and swear by it. Shit, put your hand over it. You know, do a ceremony where you video record it and you have friends present. Where I don't care, just do it, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's lots of ways to do things depending on the individual and our flavor of how, you know, how we want to construct our own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, we ratify our own stuff, right? We just have to prove that we did it. When you walk into court, say, well, here's my pledge. It's all certified. It's been, it's been apostilled by the Secretary of the State or whoever. I don't fucking know. And then say, I've got a DVD of the ceremony right here where I pledged. You want to watch that too?
Yeah.
Don't actually. You could do that, sure. By all means, send him a copy. Say here you go. You watch this at your own leisure. Like, it's up to you. There's no authority that you go to.
Right.
We are the authority. That doesn't mean you had your say because you voted. No, we are the authority. You go to us when you want to know something. Mm-hmm. I will tell you what the Constitution says to me. If we have a dispute, then we go to a lawyer, then we go to a justice who's operating under his oath to the Constitution. Are you going to find one state attorney willing to go to court before a judge who is under his actual oath to the Constitution, before a citizen of the Republic? No.
No.
No. Send your adversary a copy, a certified copy of your pledge to the Constitution if you want, or to the Republic or whatever. Mm-hmm. And say, well, this, you know, I don't know what these statutes are you're talking about. I'm not aware of any such law in this land. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That one was given to somebody in Canada without them even realizing it by a judge.
Oh, really? When this guy was
quoting a bunch of criminal code charges against cops in court, not in criminal court, though, civil court. Mm-hmm. And the judge just kept saying, I'm sorry, but there is no such law in this land. And this guy was getting pissed off, like, you know, fuck you, I've been charged with that before. I can assure you that they're, you know, they use, it is a law. And the judge was like, I'm sorry, there's no such law in this land. And I was like, dude, he just gave you, you're out for any criminal charge they ever try to come against you with.
Mm.
I am a sovereign man of this land. I am not aware of any such law in this land. I'm sorry. Right. Have a nice day.
He was drawing the distinction that it's not there may be a statute to that effect, but it's not the law of this land.
They know the difference when you're trying to use one against a cop.
Right. But if you didn't have the ears to hear that, you just might just be, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Yeah, they're screwing me over. They're just pissing me off now.
But really, the dude was, he was telling the truth, though. Yeah.
He was giving you the ammunition you ever need to use.
Yeah. Huh.
Or there's no if you would have said there is no statute in this land, then it'd be a whole different story. But
there is no such statute, but the statutes don't apply to the land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They're commercial contractual in nature, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. There's only one law of land.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean that's the big thing that I know most people are dealing with is that, okay, what's the difference between the law of the land, like the judge was giving this guy an out with, and all the statutes which they are assuming are you know, putting upon you as the law of the land, which really aren't.
No, they're contracts. They're contractual in nature. But when you go to summary judgment, that point's not being raised. It's presumed that you have a contract with these people and mm-hmm. you are bound by the terms of that contract. Mm-hmm. So now when you, if they say, well, I'm sorry, I can't see the Constitution in this courtroom, you say, well, then you take us to one that can see it because mm-hmm. we have a real problem here. I don't agree to proceed under the jurisdiction of whatever this court is if it doesn't see my constitutional protections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Right, straight up, just start out with that and go from there.
Why would you ever participate in a court that's taking place in a jurisdiction where they cannot see your constitutional protections? Mm-hmm. You'd have to be pretty stupid to allow that to proceed at that point, wouldn't you?
Well, most of us are, you know, or most of us have been so brainwashed we don't know the difference. It's
you
like,
know the difference, but once you right. do, then you would have to be right. pretty stupid yeah. to allow it to proceed.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But, you know, most people, like we were saying, are so conditioned, you know, through school, through society, through everything. I mean, they have it so down that, and it's a good example, when somebody does stand up for their rights, the rest of the herd goes, whoa, look at this guy, he's a nutcase, you know, like... What's he doing, you know, and stuff. They have the herd protecting going against.
Man. Did you guys see, somebody posted one of those photo things on my wall a while back, and there was like a farmer like putting up some sections of fence to corral sheep, and there was a dog there too on the other side of the sheep, and there was one sheep away from the rest of the herd, and he's facing towards the herd, and he's like, I'm telling you guys, the dog and the farmer are working together.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, I laughed when I saw that. I was like, that is genius, whoever made that. That's one of the best photos I've ever seen with the yeah. caption under it. I was like, that's exactly what's going on. Uh-huh. The crown, or not the crown down there, it's the prosecutor and the judge are working together because you are not in a constitutional court, something authorized by the Constitution. Uh-huh. They're working together. And until you go somewhere where you are protected, it's your own stupidity.
Yeah. It's like going up to the wolves and the coyotes and saying, hey, somebody's eating my chickens. Can you do something about it? They're going to go, yeah, where's your chickens? We'll take care of it.
Yeah. So. I mean, how many degrees in law do you need to walk into a courtroom and say, excuse me, Mr. Justice, if I agree to participate in this hearing, are my constitutional rights going to be protected? How hard is that?
Yeah.
No. Okay, well then I'm not participating in this. Why would I? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd have to be stupid to participate in that at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, so Dean, looks like we're coming up to like the last 10 minutes here. Mm-hmm. Would you mind getting into like some of the spiritual implications of this work? You know, we've talked before about you know, how intention plays such a big role in actually, you know, getting our remedies. But there was a story, I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it, because you said, you know, maybe not everybody in the Freeman movement is ready to go there with this sort of stuff. But one of the last times we talked about your experience driving.
Oh, the
James, I don't know if James has heard about that.
No,
do you mind telling that story? Or am I putting you on the spot?
It was just kind of weird. Long and short of it is, I do a lot of driving late at night by myself or whatever. And yeah, I'm very big on the whole thoughts shape reality kind of thing. And long story short, I left my last conference when I was out in Edmonton back in whenever last fall. And I left Edmonton really late that day, and I had to get home. I had a Gordon Lightfoot concert to go to, and I had about a 14-hour drive ahead of me kind of thing, right? And I wanted to get home that night, and I started driving down the Yellowhead Highway in Canada, which goes dead east through the northern provinces there and comes down eventually towards Winnipeg. And I was going through Saskatoon in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was running out of gas, and I just left a friend of mine a couple of days before. We got talking about that thoughts-shaped reality yeah. kind of thing and projecting, you know, and mm-hmm. making a desire strong enough to make it become a reality and that kind of shit. And I left Saskatchewan or Saskatoon. But I left Saskatoon about 2 o'clock in the morning. There was it's the middle of Canada, the middle of nowhere. There's no gas stations open. There's no There's no anything open. And I was going to be going through Manitoba at about 4 o'clock in the morning, way up around like Minnedosa, Dauphin area. Again, there's nothing. I was going to make it anywhere close to that. And I just got thinking, you know, man, I just there's going to be nothing open, running out of gas. I hate sleeping in gas station parking lots. You know, it gets really cold. It's like minus 20 out and stuff like that. And I was like, I just wanted to be a gas station open. And I left Saskatoon, headed east on the Yellowhead Highway, and I passed a sign, you know, whatever, the next town is so many kilometers up, and I'm heading east on Highway 16. It's definitely Highway 16, this Yellowhead Highway. And I'm just driving, and I'm like, I just wanted to be a gas station open. I just want to get home tonight. I just wanted to be a gas station open. I know there's going to be nothing open. I'm like, oh, man, wouldn't that be cool if I could will a gas station to be open in the middle of the night on the Yellowhead Highway? And I'm chuckling about it because I don't listen to music or anything, and I'm just concentrating. And I got about half an hour further on down the road, and I passed a road sign that said Regina, 200 kilometers. And I was thinking, oh, man, that's weird. Maybe I should just turn off and go to Regina, because then at least I can stay at my uncle's, or I can fill up with gas there if I make it there or whatnot. It's out of the way. I'll have to backtrack, go down to the number one highway, and then come back the other way. But and then I got thinking about it, and I'm like, no, that's weird. There should not be another turnoff to Regina on this highway. And about 5 minutes further up the road, there was a road sign for highway. I was on Highway 11. Last time I'd seen a road sign, I was a half an hour outside of Saskatoon on Highway 16. Mm-hmm. And the next time I saw a road sign, I was 200 kilometers from Regina on Highway 11, which is dead south the other direction.
Hmm.
Yeah. That was weird. So I rolled into Regina on fumes, literally.
Uh-huh.
The Petro Canada on the ring road, it was chugging as I was going into the parking lot. Uh-huh. And I was even doing the last 10 kilometers where you're like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Just make it. Just make it kind of thing, eh? So that was, it really freaked me out, though, because I drive a lot, and I drive a lot at night, and I'm very aware of where I am. I never get lost. I know the roads, the highways. There's not many in Canada, believe me. And I should not have been where I was, where I wound up.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of a weird one for me. I was like, ooh, wow. I was like, okay, dun, dun, dun. Stands up a little bit in your arms. I'm like, wow. So I didn't will something open and be open in the middle of the night, but maybe instead it was easier to have me be an hour down another highway than it was to make a gas station open in the middle of nowhere. I don't know, but.
Yeah, we just had that 2 weeks ago. I had a trip to Eugene to meet with this physicist, and it's a good 3-hour drive any way you make it. There's, you know, no matter what, you do 70 plus, you know, it's 3 hours to get there. And I made it in an hour and a half. And I go, what the hell happened? You know, and this is about the third time that's happened to me. The other time I was with the physicist, and we made it from L.A. to Eugene, Oregon in 6 hours, which is a 17-hour drive. I don't know, have any recall of what happened in that missing time or that space.
Right.
But I do remember what time it was when we left and what time we got there. And both of us just looked at each other and go, well, it looks like we got a little help here. You know?
We've heard plenty of other folks, you know, experience similar anomalies. And then, you know, on like the high level stuff, I think I was telling you, we know this friend, this Taoist monk dude, Khan, that's like literally just teleporting himself, you know, via meditative states, basically, like from Japan to China and back. And
I've never had, that was the first time anything like that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that happen definitely on any of the last trips there recently. It was like a one-time occurrence here so far. But I just know that what went down was not what should have gone down.
So I know when you're on the path and you're doing some good work here, you know, that all of a sudden you get this little helping hand now and then that seems to step in, and you know, and I think when those things happen, they're there to just totally shake your consciousness up a little bit, that hey, there's more to the universe than we think we know, and kind of get us to contemplate the bigger picture.
Sure, just another little window and insight into into our immense potential as beings.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I don't tend to get into a lot of that stuff when I'm talking about the law movement, even though.
No.
You start to get marginalized, I think, a little bit when you start talking crazy talk.
Sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a reality people are going to have to come to, though. I mean, it helps with your confidence level, too. When you understand who you are and you become more self-confident about your position, it helps when you walk into a courtroom to be able to smile and just look at those guys and be like, this, you know, just looking just with a smile, just like, I know who I am, dude.
Yeah.
Right. You're, there's like, there's now there's a battle going on, and you're going to win that one pretty easy, right?
Definitely.
Half the battle's going on up here between the two of you, and when you're looking at him, and he's looking at you, and he's trying to figure out, does this guy know? Is he aware?
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're experts at that.
Yeah, I was going to say that you took the words out of my mouth. They're very good at sizing up who you are and what you know and where this is going to go before it even happens.
Yep.
But
aside from all of that, I don't know. I still got to come out and see what you guys got going on out there with all the spiritual stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's the law stuff is kind of secondary. It's an umbrella. It's a shield that we all need to then go and pursue the other stuff we want to do. I want to get into alternative economies, organic food, greenhouses.
Yeah.
Starting to fix everything that we've managed to fuck up over the last 100 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're doing. And you know, basically, too, if you're going to do this, you are going to be challenging the system. So you better know who you are and have your.
That's why we got to arm up here first. You guys read that story about that farmer, that guy that was feeding people for free in his community in the United States there? He's looking at like 7 years in prison or something right now. They want to throw him in jail because he was growing more food than what he needed on his like community lot.
Uh-huh.
They started giving it away or helping people to – like they had a little co-op going where they would just trade food or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's nice to say we want to fix all this shit, but then if we can be arrested and thrown in jail for 7 years because we don't know our rights or who we are,
mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to be able to accomplish that. So this is kind of step one, is being able to defend yourself and get that shield up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Jesus – didn't Jesus say feed my people or something like that? If I remember right.
I don't know. There might have been a couple of smart things said in that book. I'm not really
sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, it is interesting, you know, when you're out there doing the right thing and you're sharing and caring and feeding and helping, that we have to realize there is a system in place that takes a dim view on some of that sometimes. And so we need to have a good foothold, you know.
Turns out that growing organic food and helping people doesn't fit in with Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius and the everything else that's going on, eh? So that's really shunned upon. But I think Nate had something. We got a bit of a lag here, eh? Sometimes, okay. So we don't. Uh-huh. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, man. I was just gonna say though, it's super encouraging to me to see that there's a massive cross pollinization of information amongst different aware communities. You know, some people are interested in the UFO thing. Other people are interested in the organic gardening thing, law, free energy. All these different things are, just blowing up and people are sharing information. And, you know, really it's all interconnected and we all may have our own preferences of what interests us. But it's just so cool to me to see that cross-pollinization happening. Yeah. And I'm sure that you've been experiencing that with the different communities you've been that have been contacting you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's been the best part about all this, but what was I going to just say about that? I think it's going to get easier from this point on. I think the whole hard battle was over the last 10 years with mass ignorance. And when I tell people they don't need a driver's license or they don't need to pay taxes or file taxes, you know, they usually start defending the state right away. You know, mm-hmm. Well, fuck you, leave our country if you don't like the laws, like that kind of stuff, eh?
Yeah.
And now everybody wants to know what we're doing. It's kind of swung the other way, and now Now the information we can give people is now good enough quality that the people that do come and want to have a look are convinced, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I can see that, and yeah, you've got results here and everything else. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of it's working good. And with regards to the NDAA that you guys were talking about there earlier too, these people are passing a law that says that they can use predator drones to kill Americans on American soil, and they can start detaining people indefinitely without trials, and they can start just literally assassinating people without trials, permanent detention, Guantanamo Bay. To me, that doesn't prove that they have all this power. What that proves is just how far detached from reality these people are.
Mm-hmm,
uh-huh. Right? That 500 people sitting around in a room, whatever you guys, Congress or whatever you guys have down there, the Senate, that these 500 people actually believe that someone out there is going to enforce this horse shit.
Yeah.
That just proves how deluded and detached from reality and from the people that they really are. people really believe most of the military is going to enforce that?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay. I think the drones are going to become clay pigeons myself.
Probably, yeah. People, I mean, they're beaten. There's the American army can't maintain control of Afghanistan. Uh-huh. With predator drones, with murdering people at weddings, villages full of people, they can't maintain that place. Are you trying to tell me that they are going to go to war against 360 million of the most heavily armed people on this planet? Uh-huh. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Hit one wedding,
it's
over.
Wearing a uniform is going to be a cheese grater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. You know, unfortunately, we hit the end of the hour here. And, you know, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and dropping these pearls of wisdom. And we'll have your links up to your stuff and your YouTube thing.
Yeah, you want to just tell people the official website, Dean?
There actually is no official website. It's under construction right now. Okay. It should be up in the next couple of days. But it actually, the one that I'm going to be operating off mainly is actually called justdean.ca.
Oh, that's right. That's coming out. But
yeah, it's not up yet. We're still building the content. We're going to be putting the videos on there. But in the meantime, go to the site at t4tt.info.
Right.
So capital T and then number 4 and then T. T.info. Lee's got my videos up there right now. Other than that, there is no official website yet.
Okay. But people can donate to you too through the T4TT site if they wanted to. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, there's a donating button up right now at Just Dean, even though it's not functioning yet. I think the one at Lee's sites are for the conferences right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and then we're just going on the honor system. I mean, you guys have been great, and a couple people from England have sent like $5 and stuff like that. You know, that's all I'm really looking for is if people really value this information, they want to help, you know, let's to build the infrastructure, make this available. You know, send $5 after you watch one of the videos. I don't need $50. I need $100. Send $5, but don't, it's the honor system. And more social experiment at this point too. I want to see what honor means to people.
Yeah. And what's the date on the Toronto one? It's pretty soon then, huh? If people want to come
March
check that 10th, out?
Yeah, March 10th and 11th for the Toronto one.
Awesome.
And then I'm actually being asked right now for the end of March now and beginning of April to be out in Western Canada again, which means I might end up doing a visit to the ranch maybe if I got time. If not, mm-hmm. though, I'm definitely down for the June one. So
great. Yeah, we're awesome. Looking forward to it. And, you know, mi casa is su casa.
Yeah. Well, dude, thanks so much for the inspiration, Dean.
Hey, it's all good, and let me leave on a positive note. Don't be looking forward to the war coming out to go and shoot peace officers. let's try to start educating these guys. You know,
I agree. Yeah.
To the police departments and saying, "Hey, look, you know what? We all have to live here. Let's maybe start all obeying the Constitution, and then send them information on all that kind of stuff." So.
Yeah. I think a lot of them are starting to figure it out anyway, and some of the ones in our, I mean, the local sheriff is a good friend of the family here, so you know, that's what it's all about, is making friends with them and say, hey, how do you feel about the Oath Keepers, or how do you feel about the Constitution,
I got a really good way to end the war coming against the people, and between the government and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the police officers and the sheriffs on our side to go and arrest 500 of the biggest, stupidest assholes on this planet and lock them up in prison for the rest of their fucking lives. And the war will be over tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree.
Then, well, 500 people are going to jail for life,
and
no one dies.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it works for me. Well, anyway, we reached the end of the hour again. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
It's all good. I always enjoy talking to you guys. And next time you'll catch me at home in my war office. You seem to catch me every time I'm visiting at my dad's place out of town. So
yeah. Oh, well.
No, don't that worry. Sounds good. Okay, well, have a good day, guys. And I get hit the highway. It's snowing out, and I want to be home sometime tonight. So.
All right. Thanks again.
Awesome, Dean.
All right. Have a good day.
Take care.
Peace, man.
Peace.
All right. We're signing off here. It's James Gillen, and have a great day.